Hello, everybody. It's Gary Stuckey here. Welcome to another podcast episode of Real Music. And on today's show, I've got an awesome guitarist and singer, songwriter. His name is Clay Melton from Houston, Texas. And he's playing the blues and rock like you haven't heard. From Texas, you know, you have Johnny Winter, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jimmy Vaughan, T-Bone Walker, Freddie King, Albert Collins, Billy Gibbons. Texas guys, and he's right there in the middle of them. He's been playing live for 14 years. He's only 27 years old, but he is rocking, and he's paying his dues. And he's got a brand new song about to be released on February 24th. It's called Alive on a Wire. It'll be released worldwide, and I'm excited to talk to him. So here we go. Here he is. Here's Clay Melton. Hello, this is Gary.
Hey, Gary, this is Clay Melton.
Hey, Clay, how's it going?
I'm doing great. How about you, man?
Doing good. What's happening in your world today?
I'm sitting on a fifth wheel out in the hill country in Texas right now out at some family's property. We were fixing some busted pipes from a freeze and just kicking it out.
I hear you. So you're from Houston, right?
Yes, sir.
So Houston, hey, go Astros, by the way, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of awesome guitarists, including yourself, from that area. I'm guessing that probably influenced you growing up, right?
100%. Yeah, I mean, obviously we have a lot of blues history. Lightnin' Hopkins down here, and then all the Texas blues, Austin's obviously known as the live capital of the world, but Houston has, had a lot of talent come out of here.
So how did that start? When you were younger, did you pick up a guitar and just start playing, or how did that happen?
Well, I first got excited about guitar when I was 11 and I was riding in the car with my dad in his truck, and he put on Jimi Hendrix's All Along the Watchtower. And that guitar solo just kind of blew my mind at the time. And I didn't have a real guitar yet, but I had this like Toys R Us guitar. It's like a toy guitar with an electric guitar with a speaker in the middle under the strings.
Right.
That, you just flip on, and it had about four strings on it that weren't in tune. And I would try and just play to that, play to some Hendrix recordings for around a year. And then, was able to get a hold of a cheap electric guitar and started taking lessons and playing with friends in garages and stuff like that,
Right. Did it come easy, or did it take a while? I know it's not easy, which I play myself, but I know that your fingers hurt, and did you just force yourself to play? Did you practice a lot?
I don't remember the initial struggle out, all guitarists have it, especially younger kids are, have a harder time warming up, getting past that point. But that didn't really bother me, and I never really I was really just so excited about it and into it that I, get home from school and go to my bedroom and play all night. And so I think because of that, the front end of me learning guitar really happened. Some of those early unlocks really happened quickly. And then I was able to start having fun with it, and being able to suck our way through songs that we liked, playing with friends and stuff, and just right. having a good time. So it was, I think, the initial struggles that everybody has learning any kind of new instrument, even though, your fingers are hurting and stuff and it's not sounding the way you want, I was still just excited to be trying to do it,
Sure. Yeah, I understand that. Was there a lot of people around you that just really impressed and you kind of were like, the popular guy back in the day?
Well, I definitely wasn't listening to the most popular styles of music when I was a kid, because I was listening to all this old blues and classic rock and stuff like that whenever I was in middle school and high school.
Right.
But, it really was from probably, sixth, fifth, sixth grade, I started riding over to my buddy Kyle Tom Chesson's house. Kyle's now our tour manager when we're on the road, nice. And still one of my best friends, and he's a great artist himself. And he was on the drums, and I would ride on my bike with my guitar on my back and a little practice amp balanced on the bars, and we'd go jam in his garage all day long. And so it was more time spent doing that. And then once I was in high school, in eighth grade, my dad started taking me out to these open mics in Houston, you know, that I couldn't get in on my own. And he introduced me to players in town at these jams and stuff. And that really was a big learning step, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know if guitar was as cool when I was in school. But I sure felt cool enough, all right, just playing with my friends.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
having,
I guess.
Having a good time.
It's according to what all your friends listen to, you know, and, you know, back in the day, you know, there's no guitar on Backstreet Boys, you know, I mean, you don't think about guitar, I'm just saying, but, so after playing for a while, so how did you get your first big break? When did you get noticed?
Well, you know, as far as like what felt like a big break growing up, it was stepping past just doing, you know, crawfish bowls and block parties that me and my buddy used to do. And then we advanced to open mics and met, you know, older players who, you know, taught me a lot of lessons in jam environment and how to play with other people on stage. And then actually a venue we still do shows at, that we have a show coming up at soon. Do-Si-Do was one of the first venues to give me, you know, what I would consider a legitimate opening slot for a established artist. And that did a lot as far as getting us our leg in, our foot in the door, you know, and as far as other venues in the region, Texas go. And Do-Si-Do and all the people over there, Steve Syed that runs it, are great people. And actually we still choose to do, to play over there, you know, at least once a year and have a good time with it.
And so being influenced by all these artists, who would you say that you are most similar to as far as your influences?
Interesting. I think, you know, there's aspects of almost like a rockier John Mayer approach. Because mm-hmm. I think that, you know, a lot of stuff what I've always liked about John Mayer besides some of his hits is just how he brings in he plays rhythm guitar the way I enjoy hearing rhythm guitar, and then his leads are the same boat, but he puts them in these well-arranged songs that I think kind of step around in genre style, you know. And that's something that we like to do in our arrangement and songwriting, but we're definitely a more in your face tonally, and we're a very loud rock band whenever it comes to live setting, you know. And so but I'd say that, you know, his nexus of influences is a lot of stuff that has influenced me as well. I think that we just take a little bit more of a rocking approach, you know.
Right. And as far as your voice, you have a unique voice, like a raspy voice. It sounds really cool. It goes along with the style of music you play. So who are some of your vocal influences?
You know, my voice was something that took a lot longer to figure out. I was not a born singer by any means. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of video footage somewhere, you know, early days when I was just trying to figure it out. And, you know, people say obviously that the voice is an instrument, and it is. And it's like most instruments where if you work on it, you build certain muscles and you just build your technique, or really your muscle memory is what your technique is, and then you have a voice that you can use, and everybody's voice is different, can do different things in a different register. So for me, I think, you know, I just continue to chug along and sing songs that I like to sing. But then when it comes to writing, you know, you start to have these tendencies of what you like to write, what you tend to write, and for me on guitar and vocals, that all shaped through the years. I think influence wise, you know, I listened and sang to a lot of Jimi Hendrix, a lot of classic rock, a lot of Steve Ray Vaughan, obviously, being here in Texas, ZZ Top, and all those, you know, have a little edge, a little bite to their vocals, you know.
Right.
Hendrix was a little more soft-spoken in his delivery, but I think a lot of blues singers, you know, I love Freddie King, and, you know, he's basically yelling into that mic.
Yeah.
I, you know, it wasn't that I wanted to try and sound raspy or anything like that, but, you know, I think, you know, Mayer's known for having a breathy tone,
yeah.
And I would sing a lot of his stuff as well, so maybe that kind of, you know, those two influences meeting where he's Mayer singing a little more melodically, but with a raspier or breathier tone.
Yeah.
But then it's being delivered like, you know, some of my blues influences where, you know, they're really cutting it up, and I'm a fairly loud singer in a room. And I think that's kind of where it comes from.
Yeah, sure. And as far as your songwriting goes, how do you develop a style of songwriting, and how do the songs come to you? And does it flow easily for you?
The process of songwriting is definitely, it can be different any time or every time. I'm glad that it is. You know, if I had the same, I'm not the personality to have one way that works for me and then to just sit down and do it. And, you know, one of the more exciting moments within songwriting is whenever an idea comes to you and it's just, the song's coming out, whether you like it or not. And, right. I am pretty excited about it. And so it can come from a melody I hear in my head. It can be a guitar riff I'm playing. Whenever I sit down to write, it's usually my Stratocaster or an acoustic guitar. I have an old Alvarez mahogany acoustic that I'll sit down with and right. throw a recorder on, and then just kind of go almost like stream of conscious journal writing. And so a lot of ideas start that way if I'm just trying to get an idea started. There's no one way. And I think part of finding the songwriting style has come less from the way I've tried to approach, song specific songwriting process, and more about what we've been doing as a band on stage and in our rehearsal rooms and what that sound has been shaped into. And, you know, a lot of our efforts over the last couple of releases has been, how do we capture what's happening in a room and in front of an audience and put that out for people to listen to anywhere, you know?
Right.
So those kind of goals kind of seep into your process and then make you look at it a different way sometimes.
Sure. And you're working on a new album. It's supposed to be released. When is that supposed to be exactly?
We haven't released the date yet, but we're looking hopefully by the end of this year. We're on the road a lot this year. We just signed a deal with Hungry Ear Agency, and he's been doing a great job working with us, getting dates on the road. And so we're putting out Live on the Wire February 24th, one more single before we hit the spring tour in April. And then we'll be working while we're off the road, wrapping up the rest of the album, and hopefully before the end of the year, get it out to y'all.
Awesome. This is your third album, right?
Yes. I'd call it third for sure. We put out Burn the Ship 2017, full album. Then we had an EP, Back to Blue, and then Live in Texas was last year. That's why I'm really excited. This album has been a shift from last year. We recorded our live album, Live in Texas, and at one show in January of last year, and put it out in July and toured it. And a lot of the songs had been arranged and written in the 2 months prior to that show. And then that was the very first time we'd ever performed them on stage almost for the recording. And so now we've had a year of touring some of those tunes, playing them 100 times. And so a couple songs on the new album will be studio versions of those songs that we recorded live, which is kind of, you know, the opposite of what I've liked in a lot of, you know, you fall in love with an artist's song on an album, and then they come out with a live album, and you're like, oh, that's cool.
Right.
That's how they do it live. And in this case, it's just the opposite, to where we get to introduce a very raw version of these songs, and then now I'll be able to introduce the listeners and fans, you know, check out what we did when we were able to sit down in a room and put them together for y'all.
Yeah.
We've also been doing all the recording ourselves for Live on the Wire and everything that's coming out going forward. My living room has been a drum studio for the last couple months. And so I'm very proud of the work the band has put into doing the recording themselves. And then our producer, Sebastian Kier in Columbia, mixed everything. And really happy with the direction he took the mix and how we came out with it.
Yeah. What I heard, I got to hear the Live on a Wire, and it's awesome, man. Sounds really good.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, it's...
Appreciate it.
Well, I was going to say, it was melting my phone. Melting my phone. No, but I mean, it's really good. I mean, you know, and I know you have a great time playing on the road. Tell me about some of the experiences you've had playing out there. What's the best moments out there playing?
Well, you know, it's I was talking about this the other day with some friends of mine, and you know, there's obviously differences between your festival stages and your club experiences. I've always, you know, even when I'm going out to a bar to hang out, I love a dive bar. And I love a great old dive club. You know, there's just a feeling about it. But also, you know, I love the opportunity when I get to see an artist that I like in a smaller, intimate setting. You know, when Chris Stapleton did the clubs tour and stuff like that. I didn't see that tour, unfortunately. But so, you know, you get kind of different things out of different nights. You know, we're doing some theaters that we're returning to, and new theaters on this upcoming tour. And theater shows are great too, because they always have great staff, and there's a real family atmosphere in the way people take care of some of those rooms that have been around for a long time too. Of course, so there's a good meal involved that always raises the experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, other than, you know, the playing and performing and stuff like that, it's a whole lot of fun. One of my favorite things in the world to do it with a good group of people. You know, it can be a lot of fun, even though it's a lot of driving, you see a lot of parking lots and you're inside of Eagle a long time. But if you're doing it with good people that are able to have fun while they're working hard, then it's some of the most, you know, most fun you can have.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure it is. But the new single, Alive on a Wire, to be released on February 24th, and then you got another one coming out after that. How can fans find out more about you?
You can go to our website for tickets and information on anything. It's claymelton.com, and then we're on social media on all the accounts as just Clay Melton Music.
Alrighty. Well, thanks for chatting with me today, man. I'm excited for you, and what I've heard is amazing, and I'm looking forward to hearing more from you. Maybe I'll see you out there someday.
Well, thanks a lot. We'll have to keep in touch, and we'll be through Alabama soon or later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll be checking you out for sure, man. I promise.
Rock and roll. Well, I appreciate it, Gary.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Take care.
All right, bye. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Music. I appreciate you so much. If you'd like to donate to this podcast, you can do so by clicking on the support button and giving whatever amount that you feel like. I appreciate it. And I'll be bringing you more and more awesome interviews. So just, you know, stay tuned and share this, if you will. And check out my YouTube channel, Real Music with Gary Stuckey. And subscribe and tell all your friends that the music is real. I'm keeping it real right here on Real Music. And until next time, everybody, do that. Keep the music real.